how sad that the Anglican Communion would threaten to tear itself apart over two men or two women who choose to make a Christian family together.
Everybody who reads the Bible interprets it. We say that these particular sayings apply and these other ones over here don't.
The truth of the matter is there are hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of gay clergy. Some of the best clergy I know are gay. The bishops know it, we all know it. Many of them are partnered and so forth.
Well, the now familiar voices of Gene Robinson. He's the bishop of New Hampshire here in the United States, first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church USA. His presiding bishop, Catherine Jeffords Shorey, and the Reverend Fraser Giles, talking about the divide in worldwide Anglicanism. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Well, we like to do a little stop and start. That's what we call it here at Issues, Etc. A BBC interview with the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church USA. It's been about 5 years, I think, since he was, or maybe only 3 years. Yeah, about 3 years since he was consecrated bishop. It made news, still makes news, and is Lambeth, the great meeting of Anglican bishops all around the world, representing 77 million Anglicans worldwide, is ready to take place tomorrow in Great Britain. He's back in the news. This interview with Gene Robinson is quite something to listen to. In fact, it's almost a study in the arguments within the church for homosexuality, gay clergy, gay ordination, and for that matter, gay marriage, too. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. We're coming to you live this Tuesday. It's the 15th of July. You can also email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll stop and start the audio on I Want to Hear from You as well. And then a little later in the program, we'll talk about Christ-centered fatherhood. Pastor David Shaddy will be our guest. 877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Gene Robinson was consecrated the first openly gay bishop. Now, the term openly there is key, because in the Episcopal Church USA, everyone recognizes, almost everyone admits, that there are clergy and bishops, that is this higher rank of clergy in their Episcopal system, that are openly gay and lesbian. No, I'm sorry, gay and lesbian, but not openly so. Gene Robinson is the first one to be openly gay, elected that way, consecrated that way, and recognized by his church body that way. He actually has married his partner, and he's going to be spending the week of Lambeth in Great Britain, not attending the bishop's conference, but on his honeymoon. Of course, going over to Great Britain, it was obligatory that he sit for an interview with the BBC. Let's hear some of it, and I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's part of that interview.
I really have one goal at the Lambeth Conference, and of course I'll be around the fringes of the conference and not a participant. I want the light of Christ to shine forth from me. I've come to know this God of love in my life who I know beyond any shadow of a doubt loves me as a gay man, and I want to share that joy with whomever wants to sit and talk with me. You know, I think miracles happen when people who are divided by something sit and talk with each other, get to know one another as human beings and as brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's why I'm going to offer myself in that way.
Now, it's key to understand here, this is Gene Robinson sitting for a BBC interview. It's key to understand, laying aside the politics of worldwide Anglicanism, what his strategy is. His strategy is to appear the most reasonable guy on the planet. And this isn't difficult for Anglicans to do because they're always so very, at least they all sound so very reasonable, rational, measured, and careful in what they say. By the way, if you ever listen to Anglicans or Episcopalians talk, you might find Gene Robinson to be something of a maverick. He says things that sometimes seem impolite. We'll hear some of them in just a minute. But his strategy is to appear to be completely reasonable in his expectations of his church. Look, all we're asking for is a simple sit-down conversation, face-to-face. Get to know me. You'll realize I don't bite. I get to know you. And you'll realize in time that this whole brouhaha over me being the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church USA is nothing but a tempest in a teapot. You'll see that I'm a reasonable person. I'm a nice person. You can talk to me. Now, there's a logical fallacy here, and that is because you may happen to like someone, find them rational or reasonable, find them affable and easy to talk to, for some reason, that must make their viewpoints reasonable. In fact, what Gene Robinson is presenting to his church by his consecration and ordination as the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church USA is far from reasonable. He is asking his church to overturn, now it's not a big favor he's asking because the Episcopal Church USA has overturned an awful lot of things, but worldwide Anglicanism as a whole hasn't necessarily done so. He's asking them to overturn everything that they've known from Holy Scripture regarding homosexuality and the clergy. But he makes it sound so reasonable.
So it's not going to be a big sort of protest outside.
Absolutely
the
not.
No.
I mean to be there to support the Archbishop of Canterbury and all the other bishops who are there. I think a mistake was made in not including me in those conversations. I was the only openly gay voice that might have been at the table. But I will do what I can from the fringe.
Mm. There are prohibitions on homosexuality in the Bible. You've said that the Bible isn't necessarily big enough to accommodate the Christian faith. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that God didn't stop revealing God's self when the canon of Scripture was closed at the end of the first century.
I'm going to let him finish his argument here in just a moment, but I want to hear from you, your reaction to this BBC interview with Bishop Gene Robinson. Our in-studio email address this Tuesday, the 15th of July, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our in-studio call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. He's there to support Archbishop Rowan Williams, who's the Archbishop of Canterbury. He's not going to make a big protest. But when asked the question, well, what about what the Bible has to say about homosexuality? He recognizes that the Bible does contain prohibitions against homosexuality. Now, this is rare. Most of the time in the church, people who are pushing the homosexual agenda do so by either denying that the Bible prohibits what they call homosexuality. They say, oh, no, it prohibits temple prostitution or man-boy love or something like that. But it doesn't prohibit decent, respectable, monogamous homosexuality. Those are the arguments they make. Or they say, yes, it does prohibit those things, but those prohibitions were cultural, or they were based in the homophobia of the ancient world, or they were, in fact, good for their day, but not good for us today. Gene Robinson has a very clever take on the third part of that argument. He manages to affirm that the Bible prohibits homosexuality, but say, but God isn't finished talking to us. He has more to say on this subject, and we've stopped listening. When the Bible's canon was closed, God wasn't finished saying everything he needs to say to us about homosexuality. And we need to be listening to the Spirit's guidance to hear what God is trying to teach us about homosexuality. Wow. Now, you hear that coming out of Gene Robinson's mouth, and you say, oh, my goodness, where will this lead? Oddly enough, you hear it coming out of your own pastor's mouth when he's trying to take your church off into some new direction. Maybe not as radical as the homosexual agenda, but off in some new direction. Oh, come on, folks. We need to be sensitive to what the Spirit's doing to lead us, even when it violates Scripture, and you don't bat an eye. Well, why is that? It's the same argument, isn't it? Here's Bob in Newport, Vermont. Bob, thanks for waiting. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm just a little ignorant because I can't understand why there's suddenly this big concern in the Anglican Communion about tolerating active homosexuals when they tolerated heterodoxy in the form of Bishop Spong for years. I would have been long gone if I had been an Anglican before, you know, with this guy being permitted to be a bishop.
Thank you very much, Bob, and thanks for the call. Oh, well, you know, I've had the privilege of speaking at least microphone to microphone with John Shelby Spong, the former Bishop of Newark, who was notorious. He was the media's darling when on the Today Show or Good Morning America, they wanted a religious opinion. They would go to Bishop Spong, and they would ask him. Now, if you read the books that Bishop Spong has written, things like Christianity Must Change or Die, and other books where he denies virtually, no, I shouldn't say virtually, he denies literally every single cardinal teaching of Scripture. He denies not that Jesus existed. He still believes that Jesus existed, but he denies the bodily resurrection. And when he talks about Christ, it's a Christ consciousness. It's a universal Christ consciousness. He is without a doubt heretic, capital H, in America, or at least in recent history in America. And the Episcopal Church USA kept him on as a bishop for a long time. It's a good point, Bob. This seems a rather small thing to tolerate in a church that's tolerated the teachings of John Shelby Spong. But you know who sounds like John Shelby Spong to me sometimes? I know they don't necessarily mean exactly the same thing, but they say exactly the same thing. Have you ever heard your preacher say that Christianity must change or die, or the church must change or die? Where are they getting that? It's a good question. More audio open lines after this. I'm Todd Wilkin.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of issues, etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, issues, etc.
Issues, etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues, etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues, etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues, etc.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues, Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring Issues, Etc. back. Heidi Carlson, Jim Ackerman, Pastor Joel Krogan, Pastor Craig and Paula D'Onofrio, Richard Ritchie, Pastor Dean Bell, Jackie Peterson, and Thea Halsey, Pastor Glenn Neiman, and David Murillo. Thanks for your support.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
150 years ago, the church was still defending slavery, quoting Scripture. And I think this is just another movement of the Holy Spirit leading us closer and closer to God's truth.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A little bit audio open lines. We're going to be talking about Christ-centered fatherhood here in just a moment with Pastor David Shaddy. In the meantime, we're listening to a BBC interview with Gene Robinson, the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church USA. He's back in the news because he was asked not to participate in the great gathering of bishops at once every 10 years in Lambeth that represents all of worldwide Anglicanism. Now, if you think this is just some sort of a backstreet in Christianity, bear in mind that the Anglican Communion, 77 million of them in the world, is the second largest segment of Christianity on the planet next to the Roman Catholic Church. So it's a significant story, and it's also in many ways
for some, a bellwether of where other mainline liberal denominations in the United States are probably headed, more slowly than the Episcopal Church, but most certainly right on the same path. 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Let's talk with Andy, who's calling from Kirkwood. Hi, Andy. All right, we'll get Andy back here in just a moment. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Okay, so he's begun his argument that what is happening with his consecration, with his elevation to the office of bishop, with his church's greater acceptance of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered sexualities is in fact not the work of men, but the leading of God, and in fact the direction that the Holy Spirit wants to take the church. Let's let him finish his argument. This is Gene Robinson.
You know, Jesus says
so it was appropriate then, but there's lots of developments in society and human life since then, which you think should be...
Not only developments in human life, but development in God's life with us. Jesus says this amazing thing at the Last Supper. He says to his disciples, "There is more that I would teach you, but you cannot bear it right now. So I will send the Holy Spirit who will lead you into all truth." I think we've seen the Holy Spirit leading us in terms of the full inclusion of people of color and of women and of people who are physically challenged, and now God is leading us to the full inclusion of gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people.
There is his argument. This is the leading of God. You know, you really need to be wary of those who say God is telling us something, or God is leading us, or the Spirit is directing us, when they don't make reference to Holy Scripture. In fact, Gene Robinson is at least honest enough to say that what he thinks God is leading the church to do is in direct contradiction to what Scripture explicitly says. Hey, you got to give him his props for being honest. He's more honest than many others who would say God is leading us in a new direction or God is doing a new thing. And they try and shoehorn it into a direct contradiction with Scripture. Or they say, oh, I believe everything the Bible says, but God's doing a new thing. The Spirit's leading us in a new direction. God has more to say. Let's listen. There's an entire church body. Is it the, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, is it the, it's United Church of Christ, the UCC, that has as its motto, don't put a period where God puts a comma. Their logo is, or their logo for their motto is a big comma. God is still speaking. Guess what? You can introduce anything into the church if you're willing to jettison Scripture and listen to what you think God might be saying to you.
And yet a lot of very, very decent and long-term Christians mm-hmm. find this incredibly hard to cope with. Would it be such a terrible thing if the church went different ways, if there were parts of the church which couldn't accept this, couldn't accept the ordination of women, and went off and the Anglican Communion split?
I'm doing everything I can to hold the Anglican Communion together. We need each other. We need the voices from Africa and Asia and South America to tell those of us in the so-called first world the ramifications of our racism and our colonialism and so on. We need each other, really, for our mutual salvation.
So how would you respond to Gene Robinson? Again, it sounds reasonable. He says he's simply trying to hold the union together, the Anglican Communion together. From my perspective, it looks like he's doing his best to tear it apart, but he says he's trying to hold it together. He wants to understand those Southern Hemisphere bishops in the Anglican Communion who have objected on the basis of Holy Scripture to his lifestyle, his sexuality, his being elevated to the office of bishop, him serving as a priest and clergyman in the church. He wants to understand their position. He doesn't want to listen to their objections, but he wants to understand their objections. So how would you respond? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us, talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org.
It's not a surprise to me that there is resistance to this. After all, it's the church that has been teaching them what they're thinking for these 2,000 years. But
Now the church is coming to a different mind, much as it has come to a different mind about a divorce and other things that we thought were once settled. And then as we get to know God's will for us better, we decide we need to take a new look at it.
It couldn't be said that you were trying to make Rowan Williams' life particularly easier at the moment, I suppose. Do you have sympathy for his predicament? Because he is trying to hold together a pretty disparate...
Absolutely. He's in an almost untenable position. No matter what he does, he makes someone mad and sometimes everyone mad.
Gene Robinson, he seems sympathetic to Rowan Williams, who, by the way, the Archbishop of Canterbury, believes that he has actually practiced and consecrated gay marriages, and he has... ordained gay clergy, perhaps only on the other side of the pond. And yet, Rowan Williams, as the Archbishop of Canterbury, came into office several years ago saying, look, on this whole issue of gay clergy, I'm going to stand with what the church says rather than what I believe in practice. You got to hand it to him. I mean, at least he's trying to hold the company line, if that's all it is, but doesn't do much good. Gene Robinson says, I think after people come to be more comfortable with the gay lifestyle, they'll see that it's not such a big deal after all.
And there is no doubt in my mind that his intention is to hold our beloved church together. And I believe that we ought not to be fearful about the church. The church is not ours to win or lose. The church is God's, and yeah. God will take care of the church. We're going to be just fine.
Bishop Robinson had to wear, I think I'm right in saying, a bulletproof vest when you were ordained as a bishop.
That's right.
And you've had a lot of death threats.
You know, I chaired a group of conversation for 12 to 21-year-old kids who were questioning their sexuality. Not one of them was a person of faith, but every single one of them could quote me Leviticus. Mm-hmm. And that God thought they were an abomination. Mm-hmm. They couldn't have found Leviticus in a Bible if their lives had depended on it. But they knew that word, and they thought they knew what God thought of them. And the church is responsible for that. It's religious people, Muslims, Jews, Christians. We are responsible for that, and it's going to take religious voices to undo the hatred that comes from those words.
I want your reaction to Gene Robinson, the argument he's putting forward, the position he's taken here as the one who's going to hold the Anglican Communion together, even while his consecration as the first openly gay bishop threatens to tear it apart. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Mark is on the line calling from his car. Hi, Mark.
Pastor Todd, good to have you back on the air.
Thank you.
I was just wondering, what happens to the office of the Holy Spirit with all this? I mean, we have this twisting of Scripture. The Spirit convicts of sin. The Spirit is to lead us to Christ and glorify Christ. And this doesn't really seem conducive to any of that, to me at any rate.
Well, you're right to point out, and thank you very much, Mark, you're right to point out that we've got to go back to Scripture and ask the simple question, does the Spirit ever lead, ever in Scripture, does he ever contradict himself? Does he ever contradict what he has spake by the prophets, as we used to say in the old English of the Creed? Does he ever contradict himself? Does he say one thing to the Old Testament people of God and then turn around and say, oh, by the way, I've changed my mind? Or, now that I see you've evolved socially, I can tell you what I really meant when I said homosexuality is an abomination to the Lord. I meant it's perfectly God-pleasing, but I couldn't tell you that before because you were so ignorant. It never happens. The Holy Spirit never contradicts himself. The Holy Spirit does, in fact, come to show us Christ. I ask the question, if the Spirit's leading all this stuff with Gene Robinson, why is Jesus getting lost in the shuffle? Here's Kurt calling from his car. Kurt, welcome. Our time is short.
Yes, Pastor Todd?
Yes.
My original question, question I've always had is, why do non-believers enter the clergy, essentially? Why do these people enter the church and they try to liberalize it, they try to take God's word out of it? But I think it was interesting, as I was listening, Bishop Robinson said that he was at a meeting of 12 to 21-year-olds, and he was upset. He said that we need religious voices to affirm their homosexuality, essentially. And I think I think he just admitted it. He's a gay activist. That's his agenda.
Kurt, thank you very much. I think it's true. Kurt, I think you've actually seen through it. This is not about I'm listening to the spirit. This is I am trying to affirm my own lifestyle. I'm trying to legitimate my own lifestyle. Always a danger, whether it's Gene Robinson or your pastor in church, when he cuts the spirit away from the word that you can open and read for yourself. The two are never separate. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.